It's very good to be back in Australia after 30 years of freezing to death. It is nice to be home. Please take your seats this morning. It's such a word on my heart today. And when I woke up, I just had this sense in my spirit, oh, how he loves your church. Just let that settle. Oh, how he loves this church. And you can sense the Holy Spirit just on that simple line. Oh, how he loves this church. It's almost, I was lying in my bed this morning almost in tears. Just how much God sees you. And there are individuals in this place today that you need to know as well that God sees you this morning. He sees the church. He sees the needs of the church. But he sees you today. And I don't know about you, if I could come away from a moment in God's presence knowing that I am seen, it would be enough. It would absolutely be enough. And so I pray today in God's house today, you feel seen and you feel loved by the Spirit of God. Amen. I could sit down now. That's just like the most profound thing, isn't it? To know that you are known and to know that you are seen and to know that God has a future and a purpose and a destiny for your life and a future and a purpose and a destiny for this house of God. It's all we need to know that God's hand is on us. God's hand is, oh, I'm just starting to prophesy now. God's hand is not lifted off you. God's hand is not lifted off this house. God has not lifted his presence, his purpose, or his plan from you. Through the hardships of life, God never lifts his purpose, his destiny, or his plan from your life. And I'll weave in a little bit of my story this morning, but I've just got something I want to share, so buckle up. I warned the ladies yesterday, you think I'm nice, but I'm not. I'm a prophet, and I just come at you. So buckle up. Turn to your neighbor this morning, say, buckle up. God wants to speak into your life this morning. So there's a real trendy word in the world right now, and it's very trendy if you are an advocate for something. And you all these very famous people, they line up, don't they, to be an advocate to something. And not always because they have the good of their organization in mind, but they want to look good by being an advocate for something. It's like a trendy word. Angelina Jolie, she is the advocate for human rights and refugees. Matt Damon is an advocate for worldwide clean water. Did you know that? I got all this from a faithful friend called Google. Bono from U2 is an advocate against global poverty. Actually, someone asked my husband recently, how old are you? He said the same age as Bono. That's his stock standard answer now. And of course, famously, Princess Diana, she was an advocate against landmines. And there's another famous actress called Mira Sorvino. I'm going to tell you a funny story this morning so you can feel quite on the same level as me and how silly we are sometimes. There's a famous actress called Mira Sorvino. And she was an advocate against human trafficking. And in the UK, I ran an organisation that I started from scratch, and we housed victims of human trafficking. We had 14 homes. And that was birthed out of my story, which I'll share a little bit as I go through today. But it was really funny one time. So I ended up in some really, really interesting places as because my organisation was subcontracted to the British government. And so I'd end up in Downing Street a number of times, which is where the Prime Minister lives. And I ended up in multiple embassies across London teaching about victim care. But one time I was invited to cocktails at the Russian embassy, just what you do on the average week. And it was exactly what you thought. They checked your passport on the way in, and there were people there with like earpieces, and it was all very KGB. And so we get in there, and they're doing speeches, and I ended up with Muhammad Al-Fayed on one side and the Duke of Kent on the other, and I was there in like my Kmart finest. And then I was talking to this actress, Mira Sorvino. And she had a little Prada handbag, and she was eating. Now, be ready to be ashamed of me, church. And she was eating a little cocktail sausage with a cocktail stick, right? And I don't know what overcame me. I think it was extreme nervousness in my Kmart. And she finished the little cocktail sausage and she went to put it back in her Prada handbag. And I don't know what overcame me in that moment, but I reached out and said, give me that. And I ended up putting it in my bag. And I looked like some sort of like stalker person. And then at the end, I wondered why she walked away, but it got worse. The evening got worse. So as I said, I was standing between the Duke of Kent, and then there was another lady in all velvet with a crown on. I'm not sure who she was. So I was avoiding her. And then there was Muhammad Al-Fayed, Dodi Al-Fayed's father on this side, and they were doing speeches against human trafficking. And I had orange juice in my hand. You know where we're going, don't you? And so I was clapping rather too enthusiastically. And yes, that's exactly what happened. I spilled orange juice right down the front of my Kmart white dress. And yes, so just, you're feeling very normal now, aren't you? You're feeling on the same page as me. But this was just all these people that were advocates. Do you know when you really want to get through your message because you just know God wants to do something? That's where I'm at right now. An advocate is an untiring champion, an upholder, a supporter, a backer, a promoter, a protector, a patron, a person who puts a case on someone else's behalf, a person who stands in the gap for defense of another, a champion who stands up. But not many people have paid the ultimate price for their advocacy. But I know one this morning. I know one this morning who has paid the ultimate price for your advocacy this morning. I know one who has stood in the gap and still stands in the gap this day for your life this morning as he sits in heaven and he intercedes over you and he watches over your life. And his name is Jesus. The greatest advocate, the greatest untiring champion of all time stands in the corner of your life today and he's your great defender. Jesus became your ultimate defense lawyer, your bridge to the promises of God, your defender, your patron, your supporter, your backer, your promoter, your eternal champion, your guardian, your justifier, your sanctifier. Oh, I need to calm down. I'm 57. He is the one who believes in you and comes out fighting for you. And he will not sit back and watch your life be ruined or unrewarding. Did anybody need to hear that today? He will not sit back because he is all these things. He is your advocate. In Romans 8:34, I've got a lot of scripture today because let the scripture doing the talking in Jesus' name. Romans 8:34, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for you today. There is one in heaven today who is praying over your life and interceding on your behalf today. You are not alone in this. Hebrews 7:25, he always lives to intercede for them. If you felt as you came into this place today and you felt alone in the affairs of your life, let me remind you today, there is one in heaven who intercedes for you right now. And 1 John 2 verse 1, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Let's just preach Jesus, shall we? Your defender is strong today. Let me say that to you again this morning. Your defender is strong. You have one this morning that stands in your corner. You have Muhammad Ali in your corner this morning. Your God is the winner in the rumble in the jungle. And doesn't life feel like a rumble in the jungle from time to time? Or is that just me? You have Muhammad Ali in your corner. George Foreman had been undefeated. But in the other corner, Muhammad Ali is walking out. and he floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee. Sometimes we just need that visual. The greatest advocate of all time stands in your corner today. But sometimes we feel like God's not listening. Is that just me? It's just me, Pastor. I'm the only one here that's a normal person and feels sometimes like God is not listening. Now, when my son was a teenager, he's now 31 and lives in Sydney, but when my son was a teenager, I developed this game with him because he developed that teenage thing where he'd just grunt at me. And so I'd go into his bedroom in the morning and he would grunt. And so I developed a technique. Tip for free, mums. I'd walk out of the room and I'd turn around and I would re-enter. And he knew that on the re-entry, better behavior was expected. But I would talk to my son as a teenager and all I would get was a grunt. Oftentimes. And I thought, does Ryan ever listen to me? Ever? And then a week later, he would come back to me and reiterate the entire conversation word for word. Because he had heard the whole thing. Sometimes with our Jesus, we misinterpret silence as disinterest. Silence is not disinterest because God is working on your behalf even when you think he is silent. He's working on your behalf today. Sometimes we misinterpret God's timing as disinterest. I don't know about you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a bone to pick with the Holy Spirit, because why does he always work at 11:59 and 59 seconds? I do not know. But we often misinterpret God's time, his timing, as disinterest. Let me read you some scriptures because I want you to hear this morning what God is doing right now on your behalf. Romans 34, verse 4 to 7. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I hope you're hearing the word. It's washing over your spirit today. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Do you know when I read this scripture, it struck me that God wants us to deliver us from our fears before he delivers us from the actuality of the fears. And sometimes when we feel like God doesn't do something what we want to do and when we want him to do it, thank you very much. It's because God wants to deliver you from your fear of the situation before he delivers you of the situation. And what God's going to do in this place today for many of you is God's going to deliver you from fear. And one thing I know about my life is that I am a breakthrough agent. And some of you have come today with fear in your spirit about so many things, and God today is going to deliver you from the power of that thing in Jesus' name. In Psalm 34, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. He sees you. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Ha. Let me read you another scripture. Psalm 91. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Someone needs to hear this. And from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague. This is a lot of things that destroys at midday. This is covering every angle. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Let me tell you a story of something my husband and I went through some years ago where we had to wait for God. But God gave us a word into our spirit and we held on to the word instead of holding on to the fear. In 2007, or might have been a bit earlier, 2004, we put a deposit down on a little holiday property in Cyprus. Now, it's not quite as exotic as you think it is, right? The British have to leave Britain to see something in the sky that they don't often see. And what it's called is the sun. And so a lot of people get little places overseas so they can actually see that thing in the sky that you take for granted, called the sun. So we invested in this little property. It was worth about £190,000, so about $400,000. But the problem was it never got built. And we didn't know, but the mortgage company had started to charge us on a mortgage of £100,000 straight away. But it never got built. 10 years later, it was still not built, and they said that we owed them £1 million. It was rather terrifying because we didn't even own anything worth £1 million, but we thought we would lose our home. Whilst we were pastoring a church of 13 locations and running a large charity, this was chasing us down. And I remember going on holiday with a few girlfriends, and for some reason I was sitting around the pool reading Job on holidays. And the girls were teasing me, "Why on earth, Jen, are you reading Job on holidays? You could read something slightly nicer, like the Psalms." And I came to this verse in Job chapter 5, and it said this. It said, "Count your property and you'll find nothing missing." And I knew God had spoken to me. It took 7 more years. By that time, we owed £1.5 million. And 380 people went into a class action against this builder in Cyprus. Many died in the process. Many gave up and just began to pay off this huge debt. But Dave and I held on to the word of God. There were 10 people left in the lawsuit that hadn't surrendered. I held on to my scripture. I refused to bow to fear. And 4 years ago, we walked away for £1,000. You've got to hold on to God and not to your fear, because God has an incredible plan. In the midst of it all, in the midst of everything that you are facing right now, the word of God speaks true. The word of God always speaks true. Hold on to this scripture where it says, "I will shield you and I will save you." Someone needs to hear that today. I will save you from the fowler's snare. The Lord wants to assure you that his ear is positioned in your direction. He wants to establish his closeness and his comfort, and the fact that his protection and encampment is around you. The timing of your deliverance is absolute perfection. I'm not sure how much time I've got left. I'm running. But this is what, now I'm getting to what I really want to say. But sometimes the year comes around when God wants to come out of his corner. And I have a sense in my spirit, Mackay Christian family, that God wants to come out of his corner for you. There's a time when God goes, "Do you know what? I have had enough of watching my people encamped around by fear." I can honestly tell you that I'm not a person that it gets angry. I can probably think of 2 or 3 times in the last 30 years that I lost it. And it was always someone hurting someone. I didn't like it. But there comes a moment when God just comes out of his corner for his kids. And I want to prophesy over this house today that in 2023, this is the year of the hand of God deliverance over your life and over your house. Is anybody with me? There comes a time when Muhammad Ali comes out of his corner for you and he says, I want to dance like a butterfly and I want to sting like a bee. God is fighting for you. And he will no longer be still or be silent. Can anyone hear me this morning? Can anybody get hold of the word in their spirit today? That God no longer wants to be still or silent. The Lord, Isaiah 42, will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise a battle cry and will triumph over his enemy. Is it just me getting excited? I'm not even part of your church and I'm excited for you. Isaiah 42 verse 14. For a long time I have kept silent. I've been quiet, held myself back. But now, don't you love the pictures in this, in the Word of God? Like a woman in childbirth. Anybody that's given birth knows that it's not a quiet occasion. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These things I will do, I will not forsake them. This is your advocate. This is your deliverer in 2023. This is your dad standing in front of the train. Your big brother at the school gate. This is the mother defending her children. This is the lawyer defending the innocent. This is the Lord of the host of heaven saying, enough, I've heard your cry, and I've never forsaken the righteous. I'm for you, I go before you. The defender of the fatherless is strong. The one who watches injustice and determines to bring evil to account. The one who steps in to provide for you, who watches over every need, waits for a cry from a faithful heart. The God who opened the sea for all Israel to walk through and then took the wheels off the pursuing chariots in Jesus' name. If we were in an American black church right now, we'd be standing on our seats with our... And the piano would be like, dun, 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 dun. I wonder if we could have the keyboard player back. And the band, actually, because we're gonna respond to God in a minute. You ready? This is the year of the deliverance when God determines that he will no longer be still. I am your advocate. Not me. Jesus. Jesus is your advocate. Although I would be if I could be. I'm interceding for you, turning things around for you. I wonder if you'd stand with me. We're going to respond to God, and I don't know whether you normally do that, but we're going to do it today. And we're going to step out in faith in this house this morning, believe that God's just about to do a breakthrough in your church like you've never seen in a very long time. That God's going to do a breakthrough in your personal world like you've never seen in a very long time. And sometimes stepping out to an altar is just your faith in your feet. It's stepping forward going, do you know what, God? I'm lining right up for that right now. I'm stepping into the delivering hand of God. Playing something would be great, Led Zeppelin, anything. God can even move through that. But I'm going to warn you, when Jenny Gilpin does altar calls, right? I count to three. Because I figure if we want God, we need to rush him. Let me give you a little another warning. I don't count two and two eighths. And two and three eighths. I go one, two, three, and here they are. He's the first people who've got faith in their spirit right now. Yeah. One, two, three. One, two, three. Come, 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 church. Come, come, come. Believe in God for the hand of deliverance over this house today in Jesus' name. Over our individual lives. We're going to sing. We're going to sing to God some powerful song. And we're going to sing today like the deliverer is in the room. Is anybody with me?